It's great to see everybody here this morning. We appreciate all of you that have made the effort to join us together and worship today and to our God. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That's an awesome thing when you think about standing before God. And one day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. You know, there's a lot of misinformation about the coming of Christ and the coming judgment of our God. But Christ is coming again. But there are many in our world today that would have you believe that when Christ is coming again, He will come to establish a kingdom here upon this earth. And yet the kingdom of God has already been established, and Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But there's a lot of misinformation about the coming of Christ. There are some who believe that when Christ comes again, that all are going to be saved and we're all going to be ushered into heaven, regardless of whether or not you are a Christian or whether you are a child of God. And we need to be aware of all the misinformation that is taking place. I heard about a woman one time who was trying to control her dry hair. And she said, "I treated my scalp with olive oil before washing it. Worried that the oil might leave an odor, she said, I washed my hair several times. That night," she said, "when I went to bed, I leaned over to my husband and I asked, 'Do I smell like olive oil?' He said, 'No, do I smell like Popeye?'" Sometimes in our efforts to help people understand the Bible, for some reason or another, sometimes people are misinformed. I want to talk to you this morning about the coming judgment of God.
Pardon me, just a moment.
Have you ever really stopped to think about the end? And when it comes, the end is coming. You know, this old world keeps turning and we keep thinking that there is no end to our lives. When we read the obituary column, we always think about someone else dying. We never really think about ourselves departing from this world, but we will. The end is coming. It is sure, and God speaks of it many, many times in the Word of God. And I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about that coming judgment of our Lord. And what is the judgment really going to be like? In the book of Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, He said, shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So even in the Old Testament, there was that knowledge that God someday would judge the world. The Bible says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever." You know, I think it is just built within us. We understand it by nature that there is going to be a time when God is going to judge the world. Now, we know it's confirmed in the Bible that all that are in their graves will hear His voice and will come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Let me share with you this morning five things that we all need to know about this coming judgment of God. I would tell you first and foremost that a judgment day for all of us is certainly coming. There are those who are the proponents of the idea that if you ever accept Christ and you become a Christian, then you will not face judgment in that awesome hour when Christ returns. But I can tell you that according to the Bible, that judgment day is universal. None of us like to think about death, but death is certain, and I can tell you that life is not. We are all going to die. The Bible says, "In Adam all die, and all shall be made alive in Christ." But death is certain. It is not something that we want to entertain in our mind. We talk about pre-needs down at the local mortuary or the funeral home. Now, do you know what? You and I have a pre-need that many of us have not met. And that is the pre-need that we will face, that we will need in the hour of judgment when we face God. It will be important that you know Christ and that you have become a Christian. Because after you die, you will meet God, like it or not. In the book of Hebrews 9, verse 27, the Apostle Paul writes and confirms that, for he said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment." And I'm going to tell you this morning, I had rather frighten you into heaven than to flatter you into hell. I could tell you, like a lot of preachers this morning, that everything is okay. Don't worry about your life. You're a good moral person. You're going to heaven. But God never taught that. God even taught that those who were moral and those who were good are still people who needed to commit unto Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of their lives. One good example of that is found in the book of Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius. When the Bible says that his prayers, he was a Gentile, but his prayers and his alms had come up before God as a sweet-smelling savor. But the judgment of God, what is it really going to be like? Well, we know according to the Bible that it's going to be that great white throne judgment that we read about in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 8 through 12. Beginning at verse 11, John says, "And I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Now get the picture. John says, "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books, according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged," notice this, "every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." And he says, "This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You'll remember, if you were to go back in the annals of history, especially in the book of Genesis chapter 5, 6, and 7, you'll read about a man by the name of Noah. And you'll remember how God told Noah to build an ark to the saving of his house. And Noah built that ark precisely as God had commanded. But God says, "I'm going to destroy the earth." He says, "It repented me that I have made man, whom I have fashioned," or "whom I have created." And so God told Noah to build that ark. And when the time came, after having preached for over 100 years to the people in the world, trying to get them to get right with God, they delayed and they waited, they scoffed. And Noah and his family went into the ark. And all of those outside that ark of safety were destroyed. They lost their lives, and God destroyed the earth by water. You see, the water not only became the tool of destruction, but it became the tool of salvation for Noah and his family. Because what happened in reality is that flood water destroyed everything on the earth. But you will note, according to the Bible, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, that when Christ comes again, God is going to destroy this world as we know it with fire. "For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And then he asks the question, and he says, "Then what manner of persons ought ye to be?" So the judgment of God is real, but there's a second thing that you need to know. And that is that you and I are going to be at that judgment. Not only is he going to have a judgment, but there is going to be a judgment that includes everyone in this audience today and everyone this world over and everyone who has ever lived and those who shall live until the coming of Christ. And when Jesus calls your name, I like that song we were singing a moment ago. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, our name will be called. In the book of Romans 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. I want you to notice something here about the book of Romans. And by the way, if you're not coming, we have started a new study on the book of Romans here in our Bible class hour on Sunday morning at 9:30. And we would invite any and all of you to come. But when Paul writes this book of Romans, he is writing to Christian people. Notice, he's not writing to people that are outside of a relationship with God, even though they could learn from it. But he's writing to Christians, and he's telling Christians, so every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God. For 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive, he says, what is due him for the things done in his body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Now, again, Paul, when he writes this book of 2 Corinthians, he is writing to Christian people. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to, some people say today, Christians won't be judged. That's an erroneous thought. It is a thought that is not contained in the Bible, but if you read the Bible, folks, and that's what this worship service is all about, to worship and honor God and to keep His commandments. That's what this church is all about. We preach nothing but the Bible. We preach nothing but the truth, so help us God. That's why you and I need to prepare to meet God. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. The prophet of the Lord said, prepare, O Israel, to meet thy God. The judgment seat of Christ is coming. You see, Christ defined it in this way. It will be like the division that takes place with a farmer or a rancher who separates his goats from the sheep. And Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats will be on the left. You and I will be judged. Make no mistake about it. But there's a third thing you and I need to know, and that is that the record of our lives will be unfolded and it will be examined. You know, sometimes we like to believe that we can hide certain things from God. We like to believe that God is really not an omniscient God, that He doesn't really know all things. Abraham Lincoln, I think, said one time, you know, you can fool part of the people part of the time, but you won't fool all the people all the time. Well, let me tell you something, a little addendum to that. You will not fool God at any time. You will not. Your record. God will place it before you and He will say, this was your life. This is the way that you lived your life. I don't know about you. There's some things in my life I'd kind of got to go back and relive and change, and can't do that. What will your life be like when it is displayed before all of heaven to see? For 2 Corinthians 5:10 again says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that, listen to it, so each one may receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So whether you're good or whether you're bad, your life will be played out before God. You know, we'd like to be able to think that we could delete things, like we just go on the computer. Instead of saving it, we'd like to go in there and just delete it. Get rid of it. Get rid of our history. But you can't delete it. It is there for all time. But fourthly, there's another thing you need to know. And that is that heaven or hell will await each of us. We hear a lot about heaven today. Everybody wants to go there. There was a song that became a real hit several years ago entitled, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but No One Wants to Die. Over 100,000 people die daily, according to the latest statistics. Think about that. 100,000 people all over our world die daily. Paul taught that we all die again, 2 Corinthians 5:1. Unless we're living when the Lord comes again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. You and I have a house. That's what the body is. The Bible calls it a tabernacle. It calls it a tent. Calls it a temple. We are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You have a house, and it houses your spirit. That house can be short. It can be tall. It can be skinny. It can be fat. It can be beautiful. It can be ugly. But there's one thing about that house. It's wasting away every day. Did you know that the moment that you made your way into this life, you started making a hasty journey toward the grave? It's true. It is true. Do you realize that anything you can see or feel with your normal senses within 3 years will die? Every 3 years, we're told by scientists that the cells of the body turn over. Old ones die and new ones are formed. You will still look like yourself. Unfortunately, you will have a new body in 3 years. But if you don't like what you see, just wait 3 years. But your body will not be here forever. Paul, I like the way he uses the word tabernacle or the word tent. You pitch a tent. A tent is not here to stay. You move that tent, just like the Israelites did from place to place. They pitched a tent, but they picked it up and they moved on. And that really is what a tabernacle is as well. That tent or that tabernacle is temporal. Your body is temporal. We often sing, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through, because my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore." You know what? That's the way that we all ought to feel. But you know what? When God gives us a new body, it will really be new. Heaven or hell will await us. Isaiah 35 and verse 8 says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it, but shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein." You will not get into heaven by accident. You won't stumble into the glorious home of the redeemed. This morning, you're either on the highway to hell or you're on the stairway to heaven. I hope it's the latter. You see, the highway to hell is called the broad way by Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. He says, "Strive to enter at the straight gate, for straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." It is going to happen. You're either going to be on the broad way or you're going to be on the narrow way that leads to life. And those who die out of the Lord Jesus Christ will be thrust into an eternal hell to live forever and ever. You know why I think some people do not really consider hell as being eternal? Is because everything we do is governed by time. All of us wear a watch. It doesn't mean much to some people. We look at the clock. I see you do that occasionally when I'm preaching. We live by the calendar. We live by time. We don't live by things that are eternal. But God is an eternal God, and those who have faithfully served will enter heaven's happy home. I know that's true because of the words of John the great revelator in the book of Revelation 14. When he said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." Listen to Christ. That's why he appeals to men to come after him. In Matthew 16, 24 and following, "Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." And the rest of that verse says, "And whosoever loses his life for my sake and for the kingdom shall find it." But heaven, last of all, is a prepared place for a prepared people. Let me ask you this morning, how prepared are you for your journey to eternity? You know, we spend a lot of time trying to get people to prepare for certain things. We get them, our young people and our kids, prepared to go off to school at the beginning of every year. We spend a lot of time and effort getting prepared to come to worship, to get up and head off to the job. We get prepared for a lot of things, but the thing that we often neglect is our preparation for the journey and for the judgment. We need to unlock God's master plan for our life. And folks, you don't find that out in the world. You know where you find it? In the pages of God's eternal word. It's his plan, not my plan. By the way, the plan's not the church's. The plan's God's. It is. In Romans 10, verse 17, the word says, "So faith then cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's why we preach the word of God. We want people to know it. We want people to understand it. Because they can't obey it if they don't know it and they don't understand it. That's why we tell people, one of these days you're going to die. You're going to leave this world. In the book of Job, the 16th chapter in verse 22, Job said, "When a few years are come, then shall I go the way of whence I shall never, ever return." I think of Job 14 in verse 1, when he said that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Job chapter 30 and verse 22, "Thou liftest me up," he says, "with the wind, and thou causes me to ride upon it, and you dissolve, O God, my substance." Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 5 says, "Even the living know that they shall die." Job 14 and verse 10, "But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost." And then he asks the question, he says, "And then where is he?" You know, I've been asked that question many, many times. You think he went to heaven? Or do you think he went to hell? And you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. God is the righteous judge, Paul says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know one thing, that Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 8 is right. When Solomon said, "There is no man that hath power over his spirit to retain that spirit, neither hath he power in the day of his death." You don't have the power to retain your spirit, nor do I, in the day that we shall stand at the point of death. Luke 13:3 says, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." There's your answer. If a man was really penitent in life, truly penitent, and surrendered his life unto Christ, I'll leave the answer to you. Philippians 2 and verse 11. "That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Many believe in Christ, but they've never repented, never really changed, and that's what that word means. And they've never really acknowledged Christ as Lord. They've never made a profession and a confession of their faith in Christ to be Savior. nor have they ever been immersed in water baptism. But Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That's why baptism is so important. That's why it's so important for people to surrender to Jesus. And that's the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost to those who were asking that very question. "Many brethren, what shall we do? How can we get ready for heaven?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Let me ask you a question this morning. What on earth are you living for? What on earth are you living for? Are you living to amass a lot of wealth that you'll leave behind here someday? I have spoken at numerous memorial services. And I know one thing. I have never seen a Brinks truck following a hearse. Never. And never have I ever had a father who lost a child who said to me, "I wish I had worked longer hours where I could make more money." But I have heard them say, as tears stream down their face, "I wish I had spent more time with him or her." What really is important to you this morning? What are you living for? If you're not a Christian, what on earth are you waiting for? If you know, and I've proved to you this morning, folks, whether you want to accept it or not, you know, that's the real crux of the matter. It's not a matter of whether I present it to you. It's a matter of whether you receive it and whether you accept it. But it's not me you're accepting or rejecting. It's the God of heaven. I've told you His word. I've done my job this morning in bearing the message of Christ to you. It's His email to you. And He says to you, "Open." You can delete it, or you can open it. You can mark it as spam, or you can read it. You can hear it. If you're not a Christian, what are you waiting for? Be assured that the end will come for this planet. It will. You mark the word of God, it's going to happen. And someday in judgment, you know what many people are going to do? They're going to do the same thing that they did in the days of Noah when the ark began to float. And the rain began to fall. They began to beat upon the ark, no doubt. Wanting in. But it was too late. If the earth is going to be destroyed, and Peter says it was, 2 Peter 3:10. And Christ is coming again to judge the secrets and the hearts of men. Doesn't it behoove us to get right with our Maker? Are you prepared for your last heartbeat? You know, I have been in hospital rooms. I've been in ICU, believe it or not, holding the hands of people whose heart beat for the last time. I've told you this before, but it's true. For those who are ready to meet God, there's almost a smile that comes across their face. But those who are not Christians, there is a sad countenance. Now you can say, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching the gospel for 50 years. And I have been summoned to the bedside of folks who were Christians and those who were not. Someday your heart will beat for the last time. When it stops, what then? What then? What will be your fate when the end comes? What does your future hold for you when you pass from this life? And someday you shall. Ready or not. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I can tell you in all sincerity and honesty, and I'm being upfront with you about it, if you're not a Christian, according to the Word of God, and I'm bearing the message of God, this is not the message of Dan Manuel. It's not the message of this church, but it's a message from God. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. And you will go to hell. Oh, we got some proponents of the idea that God is too loving and God is too good to ever let anyone go to hell. Tell God that. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we appeal to you upon the mercy and the grace of Almighty God to accept His commandments and obey them, to become a child of God while your heart still beats, while you still live this side of eternity. And if you're a Christian and down deep inside, you know, you've just been masking a lot of things, and in reality you're playing a part, you've deluded your own mind and others this morning, would you make that decision to step out and follow Christ and really give your life to Him? Renew your commitment to Him, to be restored in the faith, and ask God to forgive you and to help you live the kind of life that is exemplary of the life of our Lord who lived and walked before us. If you'd like to place membership with this church family, certainly we invite you to do that even now as we stand and as we sing.